today on Life Talk.
You're worshiping something or you're worshiping someone. It can be money. It can be materialism. It can be a person, place, or thing. But it has become your God. You worship at its altar. I choose very carefully what I worship, and I know what I worship because I know that I'm going to become like what I worship.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk. I'm Jeff Wickwire. Today, we continue with our powerful series entitled Piercing the Darkness. So far, we've learned that a church that pierces the darkness with the light of God's love and truth will have these characteristics. One, they will have learned to turn pain into gain. Two, they will stay with the Word of God no matter what. And third, they will resist and defy political correctness. And now this time, we're going to look at the power of a praising church. We're going to see that the church that pierces the darkness will understand the power of praise. So grab your Bible and follow along with me as I share part two of the message, The Power of Praise.
Let's look at this passage. We're going to read about the original jailhouse rock. Here it is, about midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. When were they doing it? At midnight. And who was listening to them as they worshiped God? Prisoners. Those that were chained up and in darkness and imprisoned heard them worshiping God. Now say with me, suddenly. Suddenly, God moved. There was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open. I don't know of a prisoner who would not love this to happen. But notice, everybody's chains came loose. Well, I understand the prison doors flying open because the earth was shifting. But the chains dropping loose, something else did that. And that was God moving, God sending his angels, God sending his anointing, God answering and testifying to and moving in the presence of the praises of his people. So the church that pierces the darkness will be a praising church. And say, well, I didn't read that there. Well, let me quickly go back. Paul and Silas were in a particular town. Actually, it was Philippi. And a woman who had a demon spirit of witchcraft, began to follow them around. And instead of exalting Jesus Christ, this spirit in this woman was exalting and lifting up these men. And they knew something's wrong with this because you don't worship us. You worship Jesus Christ and you worship God. So, finally, it says, Paul, being grieved in his spirit, turned around, looked at her, and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And the demon spirit came out. Now, when that happened, she lost her evil gift. She had a gift. And the gift was divination. Well, it just so happens there were men in this city who were making money off of her gift. And they realized that she could not divine anymore. She could not speak over people's lives and sort of a witch type woman. She could no longer read their palms and do the things that she did to bring them money because she had lost her supernatural evil power. Well, the men got upset about their loss of income and they reported her and the preachers, Paul and Silas, and they spread a lie about them and they told the magistrates of the city, these men have been bringing tumult and trouble to this city. They are seeking to overthrow this city, and they began to tell lies about them. And they stirred up a riot against Paul and Silas. They seized them for something they had not done. They threw them deep into the dungeon. They chained them up. When you went into a dungeon in that day, it was not like Tarrant County Jail. You weren't guaranteed a lawyer. You weren't guaranteed a day in court. You weren't guaranteed anything. It was fully up to the leadership of the city as to when you got out, if you ever got out, under what terms you got out. In the meantime, you were thrown down into a hole to rot. It was not a great day at the office for Paul and Silas in the natural. Here they were, all of a sudden, just minding their own business, cast out one demon, and hell came against them. And so what did they decide to do? Well, they didn't call for their lawyer because they couldn't get one. What they did is they decided that they would praise God in the dungeon in the midnight hour. Now, when you look at the Bible, the book of Psalms, which is the original hymn book, and from the greatest praiser and worshiper ever to walk the earth, which was King David, there's three levels of praise that David reveals to us from the Bible. In the 100th Psalm, David tells us exactly how to become involved in praising and worshiping God. And I want you to listen closely to the three names that he attaches to praise or worship. Let's read the 100th Psalm. It's very quick, very easy. Starting at verse 1, he says, I want you to shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Now, he says, worship the Lord with gladness. That's verse 2. Come before him, singing with joy. Verse 3, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Then verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Now the three words listed in order are these: worship, thanksgiving, and praise. Three words that have to do with worshiping or praising are coming into God's presence. If you want to come into God's presence, here's the pathway: worship, thanksgiving, and praise. Now, I got to give you a quick background. In the wilderness, you know, as they came across the sea and entered the wilderness towards the promised land, God instructed Moses, I want you to tell the people to build a tabernacle. And what the tabernacle was a great, big, huge, portable tent with a big wall around it. And it was comprised of basically three things: an outer court, a holy place, and a holy of holies. To get into the tabernacle, there was only one door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. The Old Testament, the New Testament concealed. The New Testament, the Old Testament revealed. When you see something like this in the Old Testament, it's pointing to a future New Testament truth. Let me ask you something. Do you hunger for God's presence?
Yes.
Well, now notice, the tabernacle was portable. It went with them everywhere they went. You are born again, redeemed, filled with his Spirit, so that his presence goes with you everywhere you go. Where is the presence of God? It's wherever you are. They said, oh, the cloud's moving by day, the fire is moving by night. So pull up the stakes, let's move the tabernacle, and we will put it back up wherever God stops. So everywhere they went, the presence went with them. But we've got a better deal. We don't have to pull up stakes. He put his Spirit within us. And within you is that holy place where God wants to manifest his presence. But how do we experience it all the time? Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Carry the presence with you everywhere you go. Now, let me talk about thanksgiving for a minute. Thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's the beginning of getting into the presence of God. Thanksgiving is an expression of gratitude to God for what he has done. David said, thanksgiving is the pathway to God's presence. And it has so many blessings and residual blessings if you will learn to thank God. Let me just give you one. How many of you like to have peace of mind? Well, listen to what the Bible says, Philippians 4, 6. Don't be anxious or worried or uptight, chewing your nails about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And if you will pray with thanksgiving, God's peace, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. See, notice, he's saying, don't just thank God once the answer has arrived. Learn to thank God when you don't see anything yet. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for, pray for, are asking for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we don't yet see. And he says, thanksgiving says, Lord, I'm going to thank you because I know it's on the way. And so that I won't worry about it, be uptight about it, be afraid about it, I'm just thanking you right now for hearing my prayer. He says, peace puts a lock on your mind. Praise the Lord. So we enter that one gate, that one door, because I'm headed into the presence of God. I enter it with thanksgiving. Then he says, then you enter into the courts where the presence is with praise. E.M. Bounds wrote these words, praise and thanksgiving go in company. A close relationship exists between them. They're like brother and sister. They're really almost like twins. He goes on, praise and thanksgiving are so near alike that it's not easy to distinguish between them. Now, I read that quote from E.M. Bounds, and I did a little research, and I found one difference between thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving is verbal, and it's vocal, like I'm talking to you right now. Thank you, Lord, that what I prayed for is coming, or thank you for what you just did for me. But praise has to do with song. Praise is also thanking God, but you can't keep it in just normal talk. You've got to break into a song. Thanksgiving is vocal, but praise is a song. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but you start thanking God for something, and then it just starts bubbling up. It just starts bubbling up, and you start feeling like God has so blessed me, and his joy is just bubbling up. I can't keep it in normal conversation anymore. It's got to break into a song. And so you start singing, Lord, thank you and praise you and bless you for what you've done and for what you're going to do. That's the power of praise. One is talk, the other is song.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear. And that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
So he says, you enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You move on towards the courts where the presence is with praise. And then he says, I want you to worship the Lord. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Now here's the difference. Thanksgiving is thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do. Praise is in song, thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do. But worship is thanking him exclusively for who he is. The worshiper is not focused on what he's done. It's not focused on any action of God in the past or in the future. Worship is focused on the beauty and the glory of who he is. It's just worshiping him because he's so wonderful. You're not after anything when you're worshiping. You're just worshiping God because he's worthy of your worship. It says in Revelation 7:11, and Revelation is filled with this, but here's one example. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. And here's what they sang. Amen, praise and glory, wisdom, thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of compassion, a God of long-suffering, a God of eternity, a God of redemption. Thank you, Lord, that you are who you are. I worship you. I could almost just go into it right now and forget about y'all. I just felt the Holy Spirit touch me just now. Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Usher us in. So here we go. Say, I want the presence of God. I don't want it to be a drab day, a bad day, a boring day, or a trying day without the presence of God. So I'm going to get up and I enter those gates, that one door with thanksgiving. And then I start singing praise to him. And then I just go on into worship, worshiping him for who he is. By now, you're in the presence of God. You can't do that and not experience the presence of God. So let's put you in rush hour traffic. There you are, which can make you lose your religion quicker than anything in modern society. I don't know how often you think to yourself thoughts like these, but I do in rush hour traffic. I think about the past city leaders. How in the world did they not know to build this highway 6-lane instead of 2? I start talking to the city leaders. What were you thinking? And it's like the devil comes, sits right on your shoulder, says, can you believe this traffic? You want to get where you want to go and you can't get. Why do they call it a highway? No one says hi. Why do they call it an express lane? There's nothing express about it. We're stuck. And right when you feel like you're on the edge of losing your religion, somebody pulls right in front of you. And you go, I have a choice. I have a choice. I can either make the choice to rejoice, seriously, not trying to sound formulaic. I can access God, or I can let this wear me down and get me in the flesh. By the time I get to work, I'm a bear and not a lamb. So you enter his gates with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you that you're in charge. I come into his courts with praise and I begin to worship him. And suddenly, you're not alone in that car. Because you're taking your tabernacle with you everywhere you go, and the presence of God is following you. And that's the will of God for you. Another quick thing about worship, it's not just coming into his presence, but do you know that worship changes us? Listen very carefully to him. Here's an inescapable, irrefutable fact of life. You will become like what you worship. Everybody worships something or someone. Have you ever noticed teenagers, the way they will worship a rock band? They worship them because they want to worship. They're just plugged into the wrong thing. You're worshiping something or you're worshiping someone. I don't care if you deny it or not. It doesn't matter. Just check out your life. There's something that has become your idol or your God. It can be money. It can be materialism. It can be a person, place, or thing. But it has become your God. You worship at its altar. I choose very carefully what I worship, and I know what I worship because I know that I'm going to become like what I worship. Jeremiah looked at the backslidden Israel and said this, you followed worthless idols and you have become worthless yourself. Psalms 115 verse 8 says, their idols are made of silver and gold. They're not the true God. They are made by the hands of men. Then the psalmist said, those who make them will be like them. And so will all who trust in them. That's truth. Whatever your idol is, whatever you worship, you will be like it. If you worship superficial things, your life will become superficial. If you worship perverted things, your life will become perverted. If you worship evil things, your life will become evil. But if you worship the true and the living God, you will become godly. If you worship Christ, you're going to become like him. The Bible says, and as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him. That's why when you worship the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why we worship him here very exuberantly and very demonstratively. We do that because we know who we worship and why we worship him. And we want to be like him. So we worship what we want to be like. Now finally, praise defeats the enemy. Now, I want you to listen, because praise is a weapon. Not only will praise change you, and not only has God called us into his presence and praise will lead you into his presence, but praise will defeat your enemy. You've got a devil that's out to take away your peace. The devil is out to take away your joy, rob you of your victory, take away your testimony, discourage you where you don't want to go to church, don't want to pray anymore, don't want to read the Bible anymore. He wants to wear you down and wear you out, and he's out to do it, and he'll do it if we let him. And can I tell you that not only will praise lead us into his presence, the presence of God, and not only will praise change us, but praise will drive the devil back. Praise is the one thing Satan hates. Listen, if you want to give Satan heaven instead of him giving you hell, praise God. Praise God. What kind of church is it that's going to get the attention of the nation and actually play a part in rolling back the darkness and bringing light back into our country? It's going to be praising, worshiping churches who know, not only do I come into His presence by praise, not only am I changed by praise, but I'm also defeating the enemy of my soul by the power of praise. Do you remember that insecticide commercial where those cockroaches are running around on the floor and all of a sudden a can of Raid comes out? And they go, Raid! And they boogie. When you worship God, they go, worship! I have never done that in church. That was a first for me. But you get the point. I remember how they run for the hills. Listen, when the church gets a hold of the fact that God has given us a weapon, it is the power of prayer. Let God arise and let His enemies be scattered. Well, how does God arise? By praise and by worship. The darkness-piercing church of our day has the secret weapon of praise. Praise is the number one dread of Satan. That's why I tell you, if he's coming against your home, get in the middle of your living room, get your Bible in your hand, lift up your other hand to God, begin to worship and praise him until you can't praise him anymore, because it is like releasing a spiritual insecticide into your house, and it will drive the enemy out. Praise releases the power that pierces this present darkness. From the lips of children, David said, and infants, you have ordained praise to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. Have you ever wanted just to say to the devil, shut up, shut up? Well, it says when you praise God, it silences him. One day, King Jehoshaphat was told this, a vast army is coming against you from Edom. They vastly outnumber you, Jehoshaphat. They're coming from the other side of the sea like a cloud, and you're about to lose it all. They're about to annihilate you. It says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men. Now notice, men. Guys, I'm going to tell you, if you think you're too macho to praise God, you're too macho. David was a man's man, and David praised God with all of his heart. If you think you're too macho to praise God, come down to the altar after we're done. I'm going to lay hands on you. You're going to get rid of it right down here today. Because if you'll learn to praise God, it's going to change your home. So he sent the men, not with sword and spear and arrow. No, he sent the men. And what did he tell the men to do? To sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. He said, this is what you sing. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. What an army. Here comes these men, a vast army that you could not number, and here comes Israel. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. They looked at them, they looked for their sword, their spear, their bow, there wasn't any. I said, man, these people really are as crazy as we have always heard. But it says, as they began to sing and praise and worship the Lord, God Almighty set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. They became so confused, they turned on each other and annihilated each other. So praise completely discombobulated and confused the enemies of Israel. Paul and Silas knew the same key. Let's worship him right here in our dungeon. And they began to worship God. Satan all over that place. And suddenly, God said, there's my boys worshiping me. I can't take it. Gabriel, go let them out. And the whole prison shook. Every chain came off all the prisoners. They all fell on their knees and worshiped God. And the jailer got saved and all of his household. And the whole thing was turned around. Praise cancels satanic assignments.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.